Welcome, everyone. It's Parkside Today, featuring conversation and interesting discussion with members of the UW-Parkside Learning Community. I'm Molly Moore, Development Officer in University Advancement. It's my pleasure to welcome UW-Parkside Library Director, Anna Static. Anna, thanks for joining us on Parkside Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. And so my first question is, to start, for those who haven't heard yet, UW-Parkside's library was named Library of the Year in 2017. So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you tell us more about what this distinction means and how Parkside came to receive this award?
Sure. First of all, the award is given by the Wisconsin Library Association every year since the 1950s. And every year they choose a different library to be Library of the Year. And that library could be an academic library like ours. It could be a public library. It could be a school library, you know, grade school, high school, or a private library. There are some of those. And I believe that there are easily over 1,000 libraries of all the different kinds in Wisconsin. So we're very honored to receive that award. It's an award that you apply for. There are 5 different categories of criteria that they look at. One is user services. One is staff satisfaction, like job satisfaction. Mm-hmm. One is outreach to the community, and that could be campus community, the greater community. One is collection, so what do we have in the library? Books, electronic collections, DVDs, that kind of thing. And one is space, so library space for users. So based on those criteria, they look at the applications and choose one. And we're just very fortunate to have been chosen.
Yeah, that's a great distinction to have. And I was reading some of the reasons why the Wisconsin Library Association named Parkside as Library of the Year. And like you said, often they cited the connection and outreach Parkside does within the community. And when I was thinking about it, you're already actively serving more than 4,000 students on campus. And that's a lot to begin with. So why is it important to you and to the library staff to do community outreach?
There are a number of different things that make community outreach really a priority for us. One of those is simply giving back to the community. Parkside was founded in 1968 really as a regional university with a lot of investment, emotional investment, monetary investment, by the two communities surrounding it, Racine and Kenosha, besides the larger state of Wisconsin and even further. And I feel like we do owe it to those communities to serve them in certain ways. One of those initiatives is literacy, and so we have things like the Big Read or the Literacy Lab that really try to encourage that in the communities. But other great reasons to reach out to a community is, for instance, just to make Parkside better known and to increase our reputation in those communities. It will help us attract students that are a good fit for us. Mm-hmm. It raises our profile in the community. And finally, that kind of stuff is just so much fun. There are librarians on staff who live for community events like the Big Read, and it's great to be able to have something like that come up every few years that we can work on.
Yeah, I personally love seeing in the Gatormson Family Literacy Lab, which is on the second floor, little first graders coming and working with the student teachers from mm-hmm. Parkside. And it is kind of a full circle space that it's multi-generational. You have 6-year-olds being taught by college students who then hopefully will become college students themselves, whether mm-hmm. at Parkside or another university.
Yeah, the Literacy Lab is a great outreach in that regard, and also it addresses the needs of our students simply because we're the university within the UW system that has the highest percentage of non-traditional students, mm-hmm. and many of those are parents, so they could go to the mm-hmm. Literacy Lab with their kids, read books, experience the space just because it's fun, or even check out resources. So it addresses a number of needs. We also have a parenting room that not a lot of people know about right off of the Literacy Lab that has privacy for nursing mothers, and they could take their toddlers there, change them, that kind of thing. So it is just sort of a support room for that entire endeavor.
Yeah, that's great. And just a minute ago, you had mentioned that Parkside was founded in 1968 and been a part of this Racine and Kenosha community. And so if everybody can do the math, Parkside is turning 50 years old this year and then on into next. And so we're looking forward to the 50th anniversary in the fall. And in preparation, I know the library has been actively looking back at our history with mm-hmm. the archives. Can you give us a sneak peek into what the library and the archives have been doing to prepare for the 50th?
We can say the archive has kind of been preparing for the 50th anniversary since the university was founded, because it's been collecting things over all of those years. But most recently, our head of archives, Melissa Olson, she's a specialist really in digital preservation and in digitizing. So she's been working on that for several years, really, organizing photos, digitizing those photos, getting them online and accessible. And not only photos, documents, things like that. We have student workers in the archives, and also one graduate from UW Parkside who is a history major, working on collecting historical data under a number of themes. I think there are 13 different themes, like the history of Ranger Bear, athletics, art, that kind of thing. And so he's looking for documents and just trying to create 2 to 3 minute films so that people can come to events, take a look at that film, and get an idea. Kind of like walking into a museum where they sometimes have those little video presentations. We're doing that. We'd also, in the library in general, like to create a 1968 room, so a 1968 experience room, where students or the public could walk in and experience sort of the furniture, maybe the sounds, maybe some news clippings. This would be a small study room from 1968. It would just be a good experience and kind of a fun feature for that year.
That'd be fun, especially for students who, you know, it's hard to imagine what life was like in 1968 to almost be living in it just in this space.
I'm sure we can find some furniture that's probably authentic to 1968.
Oh, yeah.
Still in a storage room here in Parkside. So, yeah, nice. We'll have some things.
Yeah. Well, and another big thing that's happening at Parkside in the library right now is, of course, the NEA Big Read. It kicked off on February 12th.
12th? Was the first event.
Okay. And so this year, Parkside is the host of the Big Read, and everybody is reading the post-apocalyptic novel Station 11. So how cool is it to see an entire community rally around one book for about 2 months?
It's fantastic. I have to say, of the list of maybe 30 books that the National Endowment for the Arts puts out for the Big Read, Station 11 really stood out for us. There were a few we thought about. We polled the campus to see what they thought. Station 11 was very high in that polling of campus, and we chose that one. What I really like to see is the many different themes and how people explore them. Like, I can read a book and I can think of a lot of different things, and I have opinions about what happens, and I think this is maybe a metaphor for that. Someone else will come to a discussion, have completely different things, have seen other aspects, and it's really great to share information like that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the keynote events was having the author, Emily St. John Mandel, on campus. What did you appreciate most about having her on campus and hearing her speak at the event?
I have to say, one of the things I appreciate most is when it was over, everything worked out. just because it's such a long preparation to get someone of that stature on campus and figure out how it's going to work, they're going to get here, that kind of thing. It was a great event. Meeting her and hearing her ideas about the book, how she put it together, the writing process, I thought was really good. Also for students who might think about a career in writing or who have thought about, say, writing a novel someday. It gave them a new perspective on that. Also, she's just very interesting when she talks about how an apocalypse might play out. She didn't focus on the first couple of years after that apocalypse. That might be pretty traumatic and pretty violent. But how would society continue after that? What would society require to survive? And the theme of the novel is a quote from Star Trek Voyager that she uses over and over, survival is insufficient, or because survival is insufficient, that perhaps the art and community and things are even more important than just basic survival. You can imagine it's fodder for a lot of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had only read the book in preparation for the Big Read and to hear her speak. And I was, first of all, blown away by just her eloquence and how well-spoken she was, and all of the detail that she put into the novel. I mean, with themes like travel and the arts, things that on the surface you might understand and see, or not see, but just understand while you're reading the book. But when she talked about it, you could tell the depth that of why she was putting those themes into the book.
Yeah, you don't think about the choices, or at least I don't think about the choices that authors make. I just see the story and assume that's what the story is. But when you hear someone who wrote it talk about the whole process, why only Shakespeare plays, or why a traveling symphony, or why these characters. It just sort of enriches your whole knowledge about the writing creative process.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain a little bit more about how Parkside chooses the book for the big read and how we are able to host the NEA Big Read on campus?
Sure. The NEA has been giving Big Read grants since, I want to say, 2002, but definitely the early 2000s. Those grants are between $5,000 and $20,000. You apply for the grants, and with the application, you have to, first of all, match the funds either with actual funds or in kind. So we have a few donors. Kenosha Public Library Foundation, for instance, was a major donor to the keynote event. But a lot of our work is in kind, both ours, the work of our partners, for instance, the two public library systems, or we're hosting, for instance, an event over at Hawthorne Hollow. They have some in-kind things to donate, some space, that kind of thing. So you match that dollar for dollar, and then you talk about programming. We choose a book, and what kind of programming can you have? How much outreach do you do? Who does it affect? That kind of thing. As far as choosing the book, we looked at this year's list. I have to say many of them were nonfiction. I think a nonfiction book would also be possible. But for us, just being in a college community, you also want something that's not too depressing, if I can say it that way. Something you can be pretty creative with programming about. It's hard if something's about, say, the Holocaust, to do any kind of sort of fun programming around it. It'd be incredibly inappropriate. So we try to choose something that works for the art. You know, for our campus, and also that's just a great read. I mean, this book was a finalist for the National Book Award. There's only five finalists, and one of those is chosen.
Wow.
So it's, you know, a major book of that year, 2014, when it came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a page turner. I think I read it in about 2 weeks, but I could have read it in probably 2 days if I just had the time to sit and read. It was incredible to have her on campus, and I think it's such an honor that Parkside gets to apply and be selected for this NEA Big Read grant and involve the whole community within this within the process.
I really have to say, too, that we owe a debt of gratitude to Kenosha Public Library because they're the first ones to have received a NEA Big Read grant, and we worked with them as a partner before we applied for our own grant in 2014 for Fahrenheit 451, and they really taught us how to do a number of things. So, and we're great partners now, so it's really good having this community of Big Read applicants. Gateway Technical College also applied last year and won it for True Grit.
Okay.
So that's possible.
So we have more Big Reads to look forward to.
I hope so.
In other areas of Racine and Kenosha.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. And so, Anna, I have a question. Well, first I have to bashfully admit that when I was in college, I did not utilize my college library as much as I should have.
Mm-hmm.
In part, because I'm a part of the generation who has technology at my fingertips, I grew up, having a cell phone in middle school. We're in the midst of the digital age, and so I'm curious to know what your perspective is for what you think the future of libraries is.
I think the future of libraries is strong. The digital age as such is also something that comes to libraries and is also something really supported by libraries. Really, digital resources are just a different format than the book. You still have that information. You still have people who need access to the information and won't necessarily be able to pay for every single bit of information they get. So, for instance, our databases, and we have hundreds of thousands of articles in electronic databases available. If you'd have to pay for them on your own, it would be thousands of dollars a year. Whereas you can just go on our website and get them for free as a student. You need your credentials and that kind of thing. So we make those things accessible, but also making technology itself accessible to students is really important for us. We have, 53 or 54 computers available in the library as lab computers and about 30 for checkout, Macs and PCs. And this is really important because not all of our students are really able to afford their own computer. Obviously, having strong internet and things like that is really important. So I feel like libraries just need to keep up with the technology and with the format in order to remain relevant. And sometimes teaching people how to use those resources is as important as having the resources available. So
yeah. Well, and this is a small part of how the library, I'm sure, is keeping up with the digital age and just how the next generation of students is continuing to evolve. But I see often that you can check out video games at the library. Mm-hmm. And that's such a unique aspect of it to me. And I think that it helps create that work-life balance that students often, you know, it can be challenging. And so allowing students to check out video games is part of that life balance that I'm sure many of them appreciate.
Right. And video games or even DVDs are now streaming movies. We have about 75,000 movies you can stream, actually,
oh, wow,
in the library. They're not only fun things, and though we encourage anyone to check them out just for the fun of it, a lot of them are curricular. So you can use feature films in class. We don't have a video game design major, I should say, yet. Who knows? Maybe we'll have one in future. Mm-hmm. But video games also as cultural objects are important, and I could see students using it for that. So it kind of serves a dual purpose.
Yeah. Well, that's great. All right, Anna, can you tell me more about what kinds of community outreach besides the Big Read Parkside Library is doing within Racine and Kenosha?
Sure. One recurring kind of event that we have that's outreach would be helping local middle school and high school students do research. For instance, middle school students from Racine Montessori come in and we help them with National History Day projects. They research those in the archives in the library, learn how to use library databases. And then some of our librarians and archivists will actually go to the History Day judging and judge those projects and help them decide who gets to go on to regional and state competition. Another thing is high school research. We've had classes come in now from Case High School, and there was one other one. Its name escapes me right now, where teachers would like to see their students get a more college-like research experience. And so our librarians will teach research classes, how to use databases, how to develop a thesis, how to research appropriate resources for those projects and things like that. Last summer, we held our first library day, and we invited local school librarians and school teachers who worked with libraries or literacy to come in for a conference-like experience. They could get continuing education credit for it. We had a keynote speaker on augmented reality, which is, if I explain it, it's kind of like Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. You're using your cell phone and suddenly you see something mm-hmm. on the screen that doesn't really exist, but your cell phone is putting it there. So books now are created with augmented reality components where if you take your cell phone and point it at the book, suddenly the dinosaurs that the book is talking about are there on your screen and you can do research with that. It's a lot of fun. It engages kids much more in those books, and I could see that happening a little bit more in future. And then there were all kinds of workshops for those teachers, like our therapy dogs in the library. Mm-hmm. We had a session about that. Tours of the literacy lab. People from Racine and Kenosha Public Libraries and the school districts came in and talked about maker spaces, robotics works, and things like that they bring into the library to teach kids different skills. So that was a lot of fun. We held a copyright day, a conference, two of them in 2014 and 2015 that brought quite a few people. I want to say about 100 people the first time and 60 the second time, just to talk about copyright in everyday life, small businesses, how are they writing ads, is it violating copyright, how can they protect their own work, music and copyright, that kind of thing. So there are a number of different outreach initiatives.
So there's lots of collaboration going on with other librarians, other teachers, kids mm-hmm. from all over the communities, but it sounds like there's just something for everybody available.
We like to think so, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody's welcome.
Oh, definitely.
And can you, as a community member who's not a Parkside student or an alum, get a library card for...
You can.
Okay.
Yeah, we have community cards. One little known fact is that Parkside alumni can always have a free card, so you can come and every year renew and get a free card. It's part of your perks as being a UW Parkside graduate.
I just learned that. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
And that's a lot going on. Like I said, you are already catering 4,000 students on campus, but you guys have tons of events that are going on throughout the year. So you're not doing this by yourself, right?
Right.
You must have a pretty good staff that's there with you.
Oh, fantastic staff. It really is the strong point of our library, just the strength of the staff and our cohesion, our ability to work together. I think a lot of people would say they have, you know, a good team or whatever, but this is just a stellar team environment. We really work well together. I feel like everyone feels comfortable to bring forth new ideas, to say their opinion, to try something. And we really try to foster that creative process.
Mm-hmm. How many people are on your staff?
There are 15 of us.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. big. Yep. They all have important roles.
Yeah. And they are involved in the university in different ways. For instance, our newest member, Suliva, is an instruction and research librarian, and one of her research interests is recruitment and retention of college students and the library's role in that. So she's talking to admissions to see what she can do to help that process along. We have another library worker, Becky, who is helping the university a bit with HLC, the Higher Learning Commission accreditation. I'm just doing some documentation and getting that kind of stuff preserved. So we really try to reach out to the campus community too and sort of embed ourselves in the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Shauna Edson would have to be mentioned. She is doing sort of instructional design, that kind of thing. So when you say serve 4,000 students on campus, we also serve our off-campus students, the online mm-hmm. students. And she's really involved in seeing how the library can support that entire process.
Yeah. Well, and that recruitment and retention piece is so important mm-hmm. at Parkside and universities, you know, across the nation. But I know just as an employee here at Parkside, they were really, you know, embodying that value and making sure that our students have the resources available to them. And not only do they have them, but they know about them. So mm-hmm. I see how the library is a crucial piece of that, because if you're unaware on how to write a thesis or write a research paper, it sounds like there's lots of people that are available to help you.
Oh, yeah. We have some new initiatives. For instance, the Reserve a Librarian program. Jenny, our head of instruction and instruction and research help, has been a real force in trying to make our initiatives current right now for how libraries are doing this, how academic libraries are doing this. So students have the ability to reserve a session according to their own schedule with a librarian who's the liaison for their major or for whatever class they're doing it for, to actually help them with their assignment one-on-one. It's free. That's a really useful initiative for students who just want a little bit more help in that. Also, just the general outreach and marketing. Like you say, students have to know what's available. Paige is our marketing and outreach librarian, and she's just really done a fantastic job of thinking, you know, how do we reach students via social media, via different marketing products. So, yeah, we have a whole sort of team effort.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have a good team that is behind you.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that you guys are doing great things, like I said. And my last question that I feel like I can't get away without asking, but what is your favorite book?
Oh my gosh, you should have warned me about this.
What's the first that comes to mind?
Really, right now, Station 11 comes to mind, because it's what's in my head. And it's what I've been occupying myself with. What is my favorite book? There are just so many, I really can't answer that.
That's a tough question for a librarian, and I kind of wanted to put you on the spot.
Oh, sorry, no problem. There's so many favorite books.
Yeah, Station 11, the last book I read, and I would say it's one of my favorites also. Mm-hmm. So, and hopefully, you know, maybe in the summer, next fall, we can have you back on the show to hear more about what the library is doing and continuing to innovate and reach out to the community to incorporate everybody within the library.
That would be great.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Anna, for coming to Parkside today. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me and for our listeners to hear more about Parkside's library.
Okay, great. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, and tune in next time to Parkside Today.